Remington shotgun. I've hunted, I've shot. That's not what this is about.
More guns are not the answer.
The president is going to act. There are executive orders, executive action that can be taken.
Yes, all the politicians are talking about guns. That was Governor Cuomo, Governor Malloy, and Vice President Biden all speaking yesterday. And we're still talking about guns, too. Paul Barrett is joining us each Thursday in January to get some of the facts about guns, gun laws, and gun ownership out on the table. In addition to being an assistant managing editor of Bloomberg Businessweek, he's the author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun, out in paperback now. Last week, we talked about semi-automatic weapons and the ban dating from the 1989 school shooting in Stockton, California. And today, let's look, among other things, at gun sales and the registration and permitting process. And we'll do some more vocabulary words like we did last week. Hey, Paul, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks.
And as I mentioned yesterday, the governors of New York and Connecticut gave their State of the State addresses and both came out forcefully for stricter gun control, or at least in the Connecticut case, not what the NRA wants to see, a gun in every school. And Vice President Biden's Gun Safety Task Force heard from gun restriction advocates. Today, Biden is hearing from the other side of the debate, including representatives of the NRA and Walmart, which is the country's largest gun retailer.
Right.
And as we heard in the clip, Biden said there is action the president can take without Congress. Do you have any idea what that would be?
Sure. I think there are instructions the president can give to members of his cabinet to basically enforce the laws we already have more vigorously. So, for example, federal agencies all across the gamut are supposed to be sending any records they have of people who have mental illness problems or have drug problems or alcohol problems over to the FBI background check system. We know that this is not being done with maximum efficiency, that all these records are not ending up where they should be. And with an executive order, the president can say, hey, get on the stick, get that done. Secondly, he is the boss of the ATF, the Federal Firearm Enforcement Agency. That agency could, if it chose to and if it was willing to risk the wrath of the NRA, could enforce existing gun laws more aggressively. For example, it is a felony to attempt to purchase a gun if you are yourself a felon. This happens all the time, and people are rejected because their name comes up in the background check system. Well, that person, in theory, could be arrested. Will that start to happen? As a practical matter, it doesn't happen right now.
Am I right that the things you just mentioned are things that the NRA would not object to?
Well, I think the NRA would say on the surface they wouldn't object to that, but then when you got down to the practice of these things, there would be all kinds of objections. For example, with the ATF really can do no right in the eyes of the NRA. And you would find that as soon as the ATF started to try to enforce any laws more aggressively, you'd have NRA objections overreaching federal authority. Yeah. On the mental illness side, the NRA would be piping up for people who they would say may have some emotional problem or other but haven't been adjudicated mentally ill. So in the end, the NRA is going to end up fighting pretty much any effort to enforce gun laws more aggressively.
And isn't it the NRA that, in effect, is holding up the appointment of a new head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which there hasn't been for a while?
Yeah, 6 years, actually, to be specific. The NRA has really mau-mau'd that agency into submission, and it the agency is quite troubled.
Let's go on to our vocabulary lesson for this week. We're going to do this each week during Paul Barrett's series. And we have a companion glossary of gun terms that we're building on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. You can go see it, find out why you should be using the word magazine instead of clip, which I think we established last week.
Right.
And today's words come from this comment that was posted last week. And, folks, you can request words for Paul Barrett to define at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. Today's words come from this comment that was posted by one of our listeners last week, Olga. She wrote, can your guests please explain the following terms in connection with guns? Register, license, permit. I'm really confused, she writes, about whether and how government keeps track or does not keep track of who owns a gun. So can you differentiate, Paul Barrett, between registration, licensing, and permitting?
Confusion is understandable. The terms get thrown around. They're often used interchangeably. I think as a semantic matter, they really are interchangeable, with one exception. The term registration has come to have a special kind of radioactive significance to gun rights advocates. Let's come back to that in a second. You have a lot of permitting at multiple levels under our current laws. For example, if you want to buy and possess a handgun here in New York City, you have to go to the New York Police Department and obtain a handgun permit, and it's a long and very onerous process. Now, in contrast, if you were to, you know, go a state or two away, say to Vermont, there would be almost no permitting requirements. So the permitting varies tremendously from state to state. Similarly, in many states, in fact, all states except Illinois, you can apply to state authorities for a permit that allows you to carry your gun concealed when you go out in the public. So there's that kind of permitting process. And in connection with those rules, state by state, there are various databases. I mean, the states kind of know who's applied for a permit, who has one, and so forth. But there's a lot of dispute about the dissemination of that information. Should it be made public? We've just been seeing that in the New York suburbs in the last couple of weeks.
With an article by the Journal News with the gun permit map from Westchester and Rockland. But notably there, to me, and I think this gets to the issue of how toxic the word registration is to gun owners, the legislature required that the names and addresses of the individuals who own the guns be a matter of public record, but not the types of guns that they bought.
Right. And now let's come to this term registration, because that is really what drives the debate over record keeping related to guns. The NRA and its allies have a theory that any move toward a systematic system of registration, particularly a national registration system, would be simply a precursor to an attempt to confiscate categories of firearms, perhaps all firearms. So anytime the debate gets anywhere close to the idea of a national registration system, or even at the state level, a registration system that would resemble what we do with automobiles, you will get very powerful pushback from pro-gun activists.
Wouldn't it be effective? I'm interested in registration.
Like
we register cars, you can't have a hit-and-run accident without somebody, at least potentially, seeing your license plate and tracing you.
Right.
So if you couldn't commit a crime with an illegal weapon without the weapon, if it was recovered, being traced back, then wouldn't that be an effective crime control measure?
Well, from a law enforcement point of view, I think there is no doubt that if the government was in possession of more information about who owned which guns, it would be much more feasible to enforce laws after the fact, to figure out, as you say, who owned that gun that may have been left behind at a crime scene. This is done to a modest degree right now with so-called firearm tracing, where the federal authorities can trace bullet casings back to where that particular gun may have originally been sold at retail. But that is not the same. It's nowhere close to the amount of information of actually having a registration comparable to a car registration system.
So when you get a gun permit in New York or Vermont or anywhere, are you registering an individual weapon?
No, you're not. And moreover, it is simply not easy. In fact, for the most part, it's impossible for law enforcement to go and find out who owns which guns. Mm-hmm. And it is not a straightforward thing to set up such a system nationally. Could it be done technologically? Of course, in theory, it could be done. But I think that is a subject, is kind of a dream too far on behalf of gun control advocates. We could argue about it all day. Is it going to happen in our lifetime? The answer is no.
Paul Barrett, author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. And listeners, we only have a few minutes left, but I wonder if there's anybody out there who wants to call up and talk about the permitting process that you've gone through, whether in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or anyone else, since that's our main topic today, permitting and licensing and the debate over registration. 212-433-WNYC. What was this like for you in the real world? Why did you seek a gun permit? What did the government need to know in order to grant it to you? How fair do you think the process was? 212-433-9692. Have the courts weighed in, by the way, that permits and licenses jibe with the Second Amendment?
Well, we haven't seen court tests in recent years of any system like that. I think it would be pretty clear that that would be consistent with the Second Amendment, as long as there wasn't the sense that it was connected to a policy of confiscation. I can't really see the legal argument that the government's simply possessing information would interfere with the right to keep and bear arms, which is the actual wording from the Second Amendment.
Now, while some phone calls are coming in, I want to play a clip of Governor Cuomo in a radio interview on WGDJ AM in Albany from December, where he talked about possible action. This, of course, was shortly after Newtown. Possible action, including even confiscation. Here is the exchange with the host.
Confiscation could be an option, right?
Yeah.
Sale.
We've never done that before,
right.
I don't think.
Mandatory sale to the state could be an option.
That's a form of confiscation.
Permitting could be an option.
Yeah.
Keep your gun, but permit it.
Are you shocked to hear the governor of New York talking like that?
I'm not shocked to hear that he has that idea. I think right here is where gun control proponents have a really big problem, because the governor is simply confirming the nightmares of the NRA and its allies. Their contention is that everything we're arguing about now in the vein of gun control is really just a pretext to get at what they would say Governor Cuomo and his friends really want to do, which is come to my house and take my guns away in violation of the Second Amendment.
Brian in Nassau County, hi, you're on the air. You want to say that your guns actually are registered?
Sure they are. On my handgun license, they're all registered. And your guest is putting out misinformation about New York City with the with long guns. Those are registered in New York City. And he's also putting out misinformation about the NRA opposing having mental health records go into the national database. Now, if you recall, back in 2006, Carolyn McCarthy praised the National Rifle Association for the work they did in helping her pass a mental health bill to get that information passed. It's the mental health community and everyone else in the federal government preventing that stuff from going forward.
Brian, thank you. And on his last point, the NRA leader Wayne LaPierre, in that famous speech that he gave a couple of weeks ago, did mention advocating better matching of people with mental health histories in their attempts to get guns.
Yes, the NRA has talked about this in general. The problem is what the NRA actually does in the trenches when it comes down to the practical matter. And in fact, the NRA has been quite active, and its affiliates quite active all across the country, for example, in lobbying to have people who have been found to have mental health problems or even criminal records to get their right to possess guns reinstated. So the idea that the NRA is really eager to bolster the records in the background check system, I think, is quite questionable. And your caller's assertion that I'm presenting misinformation about the New York permitting system, of course, makes no sense because we didn't talk about rifles. I didn't say a word about it.
So rifles are registered.
You have to tell
guns.
That's right. So, I mean, again, this is how this debate tends to go.
But people, handguns, no.
No, everything has to be permitted. The permitting of handguns is much more aggressive, and it's much more difficult to own a handgun in this city than is a rifle. But again, people immediately start accusing each other of lying and misinformation, and we get nowhere.
Let me get a couple of people on real quick who have or have applied for licenses. Tim in Tribeca. Hi, Tim, real quick.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, you asked your guest whether the government knows what guns you have if you apply for a permit. He said no, which is incorrect. In New York City, you actually have to get a purchase order and then take your gun to the police department and physically show it to them so they know exactly what you have.
Thank you very much.
Right. But again, the point here is that the government overall does not have a registry in which they can punch your name in and figure out who owns which guns. I mean, he's correct that at a certain moment in time when some physical paperwork is being filled out,
they can't do that if your gun, through whatever means, is later used in a crime, they're not going to trace it back to your permit application?
Well, they might try to trace the gun, but where they would end up tracing it under federal law and federal procedures would be to who sold the gun, not who's possessing the gun today.
John in Short Hills, you applied for a concealed carry permit in New Jersey?
Yeah. Well, actually, I couldn't get one in New Jersey, so I had to apply for it in Utah.
And did you get it, even though you're a resident of New Jersey?
Yeah, sure. It's quite an extensive background check, but yeah, after 3 months later, I received it.
How harder was it in New Jersey than Utah?
Well, in New Jersey, you have to have a particular reason, either carry a lot of cash or be in some business where it requires it for protection.
And in Utah, you can just get one just cause.
Well, not just cause, but, I mean, you know, you still have to pass the background check. Well, my issue is that what you and your gentlemen are talking about is persecuting people who bought them legally, who went through the process legally to do it. None of these recent tragedies have been caused by people who purchased guns legally.
Well, I don't think that anybody's talking about persecuting anybody. We're talking about what the debates are out there. But John's a good example of how the laws are very different in different states.
Absolutely. I mean, you can go from a jurisdiction like New York City, where it is, as a practical matter, almost impossible to get a handgun permit unless you have special connections, to a jurisdiction like Vermont, where you basically need almost no paperwork.
Paul Barrett, Assistant Managing Editor at Bloomberg Businessweek, is the author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. It is just out in paperback. We will continue this series with him every Thursday all month. Paul, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.